Welcome to the Goddesses of Social Work podcast, hosted by Renita Ray Davis, licensed clinical social worker, board-approved social work clinical supervisor, and facilitator of the Goddesses of Social Work supervision community. Join us as we travel through the social work journeys told by the Goddesses of Social Work community members, past and present, as they make their way toward clinical licensure.
Welcome back to the Goddesses of Social Work podcast. I'm your host, Renita Ray Davis. This is a conversation I've been wanting to have, especially in a profession where doing more is often praised, even when it costs us literally something. Today, we're talking about what happens when we stop pushing and start listening to ourselves again. I'm joined by a returning guest, Regina L. Lackey, LMSW, also known as the Plant-Based Boss, whose work invites us into deeper conversation about radical rest and restoration. Since the last time we spoke, Regina has been in a season of reorientation, one that's shaping how she moves, leads, and supports others. Regina, welcome back.
Welcome. I am so glad to be back, and it is such perfect timing that we're having this timely conversation. So much has transpired. So I'm so excited to getting to this healing conversation is how I will describe it, because that's, you know, the space I'm in now is in a restorative healing place. And I say that not from a stance of trauma, but just of life, like healing in life and a recovery in a restful way. And so I'm super excited for us to dive into this conversation, because I've been sharing, you know, the last 6 months that rest is required, but it's oftentimes absent. And so that's the season I am walking in fully, 100% leaning in. Many amazing things have happened since the last time I was on the Goddesses of Social Work, including me retiring.
What? Come on, you done retired yourself. Yes. I want to hear all about it. I'm giving you the floor. How would you describe the season you're in right now?
So I would have to say I am truly in a place of deep alignment and appreciation for what I'm going to describe as a true soft life of rest. And this season has come as a result of a number of factors, but just sharing that I retired from state government, that is, of course, being an entrepreneur, I'm not retired, but, you know, I retired from state government after serving 28 years in mental health and child welfare services and medical social work. And so going on call 365, all the things, you know, just as a part of, you know, your career, and not realizing how neglectful I was in that resting space. Even when you take off, you're getting the phone calls. Even when you take off, you're still planning, you know. And so being in a season where June 30th, which was very significant for me. First of all, let me just backtrack. I did not go into 2025 set to retire on June 30th. Let me caveat that. You know how you have, if you work in state government, you know, have insurance, you have your flex benefit card. So I had money on the card. So I was not intending saying, hey, I'm going to retire. However, the handwriting began to become on the wall from divine signs from the Lord. And so February, March, God started having conversations with me about how I was moving and what it was like for me in the workspace. Beautiful experience. My team, the work was going well. So it wasn't like I was, you know, leaving on bad terms or anything like that, but it was God was calling me to a greater assignment. And I honored that assignment. So I was like, what are you saying, Lord? You know, and so you have so much more to offer, Regina. And in this environment, you're limited. And so giving me permission, had a conversation, of course, with my spouse in June 30th, which not only was the day that I retired, but it marked the anniversary of 5 years that my father had passed. So truly significant for me to honor God's assignment and know that in the way that he passed, massive heart attack, I did not want to be on a trajectory to becoming unwell in a workspace, if that makes any sense. And so hearing from God and saying, let me walk into my God-given assignment. I give me God, God said, I gave you a voice that you're really not using. And from a grind culture, working full time, getting up early, staying up late because you are doing the things to be an entrepreneur, where was the rest, Regina? It was absent. It was absent. And so even after I retired, can you imagine maintaining that same schedule, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, going all day, planning, doing things in your business? That's who I became because that is the culture that I had lived in and had operated in for 20 some years. And so I had to have a reality check and just started checking in with others and how they were doing, like, how are you as an entrepreneur? Well, that was the same thing. And I was like, well, wait a minute. I got to figure out how I'm going to get this rest because one thing that I was hearing and one thing that I experienced or saw people experience in the workspace was chronic stress and burnout. I didn't leave as a result of that. However, the voice that I had, what God was giving me is you got to create a way for people to understand that chronic stress. One, it kills. Burnout is on your way to that. So you do not have to keep grinding like you've been doing. Can you start slowing down? And so, in this season, over the past 6 months, I have been very intentional with how I move to unplug from things, to separate things, as we say, that no longer serve me. Grind culture no longer serves me. It does not serve my health. It does not serve my well-being. And it does not serve the message of doing life well. And so I have been in community, new ecosystems, new communities. And one of those communities I'm so grateful for, and that's Black Women Do Heal. Started walking with them, learning about the organization, and putting together my thoughts as a part of an anthology series. So we're working on a book over here,
Come on through,
And
yes.
so being able to have conversations with other women who are also about this rest, this was new. Like this was new. Like this community, Black Women Do Heal, that is the essence, community healers. And so in the community, we are, as a member, inviting women in so that we can love on them, support them as community healers. We're out there doing the work, but who's there for us? Where is that safe space? Where is that voice? Where is that place where I can go and be nurtured, have some transparency without judgment, without criticism? I found that in that space and really lean into it, better understanding capacity. Let me tell you, I started using that word as if I was drinking water. I do not have the capacity. But I didn't have that language before being in a community that honored that. And so I tell people your ecosystems matter. Like if you're not in an environment that is nurturing you to your greater person, to the best person, not just for accolades, not for the next thing, but what is going to serve you in your well space, right? And so leaning in, getting the language to start saying, I don't have to have an excuse, Renita. I do not have to make up anything. I don't have the capacity, or I'm just unavailable. And that was like, oh, I can say that. So really, really, really a new place. And the more I've been leaning into the community, it's like we need to equip, we need to walk with people and really, really own that when you don't have the capacity, sweetheart, you don't have the capacity. Even as a health and wellness coach, I'm a plant-based health coach and a transition coach, but I'm about your wellness. This is one of the messages that I've started sharing with my clients, and that is if all you have today is 40%, Your 40% is actually 100% of your capacity. Give yourself grace. So we have been, programmed to grind, to push, to not stop 24/7. No, that is not sustainable. It's not practical. And I have been very intentional with leaning into this space. I'm so humbly grateful for Black Women Do Heal, Coach Cassie J, who is the
Can you
founder.
tell us more about that? Like, start
Black
from the
Women.
beginning, because I've never heard of it, and I'm looking at your name. You are the co-executive director of Black Women Do Heal. Can we hear all about this organization and what you
Yes.
do with it?
Yes. So here is the beautiful thing. About three weeks ago, I stepped into that role. Yes. And so super excited for where we're going in 2026 and just going forward. But Black Women Do Heal was founded by Coach Cassie J, Cassandra James Weatherspeed. And the whole premise is to create space where we learn how to support, really support Black women in safe spaces in a radical way, in a radical resting way. Community healers, again, out there doing the work, but where is that space where there is no judgment? It's not about any kind of titles or anything. Offering support to community healers, mental health support. We offer education, training, collective days of rest for women, where you're actually separating. And so really not a packed agenda full of things, but what does a collective day of rest look like? Being able to share healing experiences. And so we provide, as a part of our community, we could call it a tribe, our Lori tribe. And so, as a part of that, being a tribe member, if you need support, one-on-one support, you have that, at no cost to you as a tribe member, that one-on-one support. We have community support. So we are here to support our community healers. We have so many professionals who may not be comfortable going somewhere. We don't need to put a label on anything, but I know I need support. And so we have a safe space where we create tangible, realistic support for our women, unlimited access to this support,
Is this
resources.
online or in
It's
person?
online and we have in-person events. And we
Okay.
have, yes, it's online and we have in-person events.
Here in
So
Alabama?
well, so let me tell you the beautiful thing. So,
Yeah.
2025, this year, we've had a tour of Healing Stories. And so, this is an opportunity, like I shared about the anthology series, but this is with our Healing Stories. We have ladies, we had a story in Jackson, Mississippi, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Louisiana, Houston, Texas. So, there are about six or seven, eight states this past year where we took tour stops and had in-person events. And so the community, yes, is an online platform because we want to reach as many sisters as we possibly can. And we now have men who are part of Black Women Do Heal. So there's a men's arm that we've now added. But in terms of coming together in a collective space, we're sharing healing stories for the experience. And so it's an evening where we're doing relaxation, we're doing our meditations, and then we're sitting in that space so that you do not, walk away with all of this. We're able to work through some things in there in that space. It's such a
What is a healing story? What do Black Women Do Heal call a healing story?
So, your personal story, that you may have told 10 times, or you may have, this may be your first time actually sharing that story. We actually walk with the ladies who say, you know what, I have a story that I want to share, and I'm ready to share that. But before we just say, hey, let's go on this story tour, we spend 8 weeks with them, really working with them, hearing their story, helping them to frame it so they feel safe in the environment. It may come up, you may think that you're ready, and you start to work with us and you realize I'm not ready just yet. So there is no pressure there. And by the same token, we spend 8 weeks with them in a cohort group, and then they have the opportunity, if they so desire, at the conclusion of that, then to be a part of the healing tour. I mean, beautiful job. You have your advertisements tell it about who you are and where you're from. And so it was a traveling, yeah, like I said, we had ladies in 8 different states. Where we invite the public, we invite other ladies to come out and support, to hear the stories and to learn more about learn more about Black Women Do Heal. And so no labels, you know, no names. Like, it's just we're here to support, to offer real, meaningful, I need you, hey girl, hey, support.
That is so beautiful, Regina. And literally was just saying one of the things, one of my favorite things I used to say is the more you tell your story, the less power it has over you. Because secrets keep us sick, right? And so we've been keeping this, whatever the thing was to ourselves for years and years, decades even, some of us. And then for you to create a space where they're telling their story over and over and over, and then to get to a place where they can publicly share their story to help others who resonate with it, whether the exact thing happened or just the energy of that thing. And then once the story is told, you guys are holding space to meditate, journal, release it so that we're not just trauma dumping on someone. We're like, no, I know that story. Your story is my story. And then collectively, we're releasing all of the stories together. That is absolutely beautiful. How did you end up getting involved with this?
So one of my former colleagues, who's also a sister in Christ, she was a part of their first anthology series and was sharing with me, this is a phenomenal group. And she, you know, shared that with me about the anthology, like the country contributing to that. And then they also had an event as a health coach. She say, hey, are you available to facilitate a session for us about wellness? And I'm like, of course I will. And so got introduced in that way. And so I, of course, did my work. Let me look online. Let me find out. Let me find out about this organization that I've said yes to, you know. But I said yes out of just honor of the person that asked, you know. And so when I looked it up, I was like, oh, okay. I would love to be a part of this, because not only do we have the healing stories, we also, you know, offer opportunities for your, you know, to be a become a recovery coach yourself. There's so many, you know, trainings, and so like that's what I do. So I can do it in community and not in isolation. And so being able to do it in community, you know, it takes the weight off. You know, it takes the weight off. And so start attending the meetings. I just. You never know. I'll say this. Sometimes you never know what you need until you put in that position. And so being on some of the calls, there were some times when I was like, I didn't know I need to hear that. And so then it opened me up to share with the other ladies on the call, because what they were sharing deeply resonated with me, and it opened the door. Again, we created this safe space that ladies are, you know, sharing. Not in a trauma dump way, but in a way that adds value to your experience. And you're thinking, let me share this. And so I've been connected with them now. It's coming up on, I think it's over a year. And how divine alignment works. Again, I had no idea, you know, December 2024, that I was retiring June 30th. Well, after retiring, you know, I've been very involved with Black Women Do Heal, supporting their events, going out and being a support. And so really, really leaned in and say there was enough. another position that was available in the organization. And I'm like, hey, you know, I would love to do more because I have the availability, you know, and it's aligned. That's the key thing, and it's aligned. And so another young lady was interested in that position. I was like, you go ahead. So I think she may have worked into that one. And so, like I said, about three, four weeks ago, myself and the founder, who was the solo executive director, had conversations. And so she asked me, you know, I've been really thinking, I've been praying, I've been asking the Lord, you know, to send, I'm going to call it my destiny helpers, you know. And so would you consider? And I was like, absolutely phenomenal. Yes, absolutely phenomenal. Yes. And I was able to do that, Renita, as a result of alignment. The work that I do in my company, in my business as a wellness coach, it is about healing, but it's about healing the physical body from, you know, preventable chronic diseases. But this puts us also in a place where when we're talking about radical rest, rest is required. That is abnormal. That is not natural. That is counterculture. And so I ran at the opportunity to marry doing life well with Black Women Do Heal so that we can do life well in community. And so I set forth for 2020. We've been meeting pretty much on a very regular basis these last several weeks, of course, to get me acclimated and into what it has been. But also we're open to where we're going. Right. And so looking at what can we do to disrupt this narrative about the next grind. And so for me, and what we talk about, what my stance is, you know, rest is the new flex because nobody's resting. You can grind all day, like, but the true flex is when you can step away and learn how to take care of yourself. We were having a conversation earlier today and I was like, rest is different from self-care and is different from burnout prevention, right? Because building in daily rest rhythms as a part of your life and not waiting to go and do this thing, but really starting to build in the language, owning the language where you do not have capacity, where you are intentionally unavailable and unapologetic without guilt. Now you got to put all that together, you know, and so really being able to lean into this space. And so as the co-executive director of Black Women Do Heal, we're looking forward to, we have a rest framework. We have some upcoming events that we are going to be doing in person. And so we believe that from a collective day of rest, as well as a couple of the campaigns that we have got rest that we're going to be really, really leaning into in 2025. As you know, we've had an interesting year, and I'll leave that right there. But people have been in an interesting place for probably about the last 5 years and have not been able to make that shift yet, trying to come off of 4 years ago, 3 years ago, and have not slowed down. And so we're going to create the space and a true process. We have the framework built out that speaks to practical, tangible. What does it look like to rest? We're not talking about another conference, because conferences, and I held one this past year in February, beautiful, beautiful, got rave reviews about it. But this is what I'll say to that. Conferences bring about inspiration. Smaller, intimate gatherings bring about more transformation. It's not a packed schedule. So what we're looking at in 2026 is, events around restorative care, resting, restoring her, restoring him. But when you think about that, we are not looking at a packed agenda. That's not, you don't have a schedule full of things, creating space, right? creating space for reflection, creating space for mindfulness, not PowerPoint heavy. But here are some things, and here's how we do it, because we want to facilitate to you how you can take this on when you leave here. But if you're in sessions back to back to back, you're just picking up your bag, going to the next session, picking up your bag, going to the next session. But when you're in a smaller, intimate gathering, and you're sitting and you're having to, you get to reflect, you get to slow down, your nervous system gets to recalibrate, you get to practice your deep breathing, and it's not this mystical thing that you think meditation is, beginning to own this space. Like, do you realize you can reset your nervous system before you go into that meeting with somebody you already know it's going to be tense? You didn't even know that. And so teaching practices that are simple and very sustainable without you a having to spend a lot of money to go somewhere, when we're going to facilitate these sessions. So I'm super excited for being able to, I'm going to say, we're going to disrupt in 2026 in a restful way. That's the
that.
Message.
Yeah.
We're going to be disrupting in a restful way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Regina, I love this so much, because there's two things that came up. I didn't write them down, so we're going to hope I remember. But the first is, if you had not retired, and you know, you said you had money on the FSA card and the, you know, all of the things. And especially after 30 years, we kind of get into this, okay, another year of doing that same thing. And if you hadn't retired, you wouldn't have been able to lean in intentionally with this, even though you were already doing the work, lean in. And I was thinking, I think in that earlier podcast or to someone else earlier, you know, I had some goals for 2025 it was on the back of my calendar, because I believe in writing the vision down and making it plain. So I had written it out on the back of my 2025 calendar. I got to the end of the calendar and I was like, I didn't meet those goals. And so it kind of shook me a little bit. So I journaled about it. And the realization I got was, Renita, if you had met those goals, you wouldn't have been able to travel. You wouldn't have been able to go to some of these events that have now opened these doors to way bigger opportunities in 2026 had you met this 2025 goal. So sometimes we think we have a goal, like, all right, I'm going to do this 29th year, and the government, you know, I got my, it's safe. It feels safe, but that was too small. God has something so much bigger for you. Like you said, has something so much bigger for you. And so the fact that it didn't work out was the best thing. I love that. But then the second thing I'm thinking is, I think the shift is happening, because Regina, for me and my, you know, I do the Goddess of Social Work Supervision community. And the last month or so, we've really been leaning into reflective supervision, where I'm having the goddesses journaling and we're doing some guided imagery. And we're not just saying, bring me a case and let's talk about it. We are, it's been a place of just come, bring your journal, bring your candle, bring your teacup. And let's just do some reflective prompts and journal in, and maybe, you know, break out a little bit and talk to each other one-on-one. And it's just been, when you were talking, because I know you put that conference on and I know it had rave reviews and it was a big deal. But one of the things, as the facilitator of this restful place that I've been creating, it's calmed my nervous system. You know, because I too have put on events in 2025, and there's a lot of anxiety. How many people are going to show up, and are we going to have lunch, and who the speaker is going to be, and all this stuff. And I mean, literally the last event I put on, I was in the bathroom 3-4 times because my nerves were just so rattled trying to make sure everything was, you know, on point. However, just stepping into this more reflective, slower pace of doing things, my central nervous system has calmed way down.
Yes.
So I'm only imagining you being the co-executive director of Black Women Do Heal, that yes, you're offering this space for others, but as the facilitator of these safe spaces, I'm wondering, are you seeing a difference even in how you show up?
100%. And I'm going to go back to where you were, speaking about, setting the goals, and achieving those goals and writing them down. I shared with, the co-executive earlier, the same thing is just, just timely that I shared with her the same things in terms of what I have for 2025. And here we are going into 2026. However, I had no guilt associated with the things that had not been X'd off or crossed off. And being able to lean into, as we come into this part, being able to think about how I'm currently moving. The best thing that I can say is this community expectation is rest. So when you're that intentional, it's the embodiment. It's not just here's a workshop, here's a class. We have free resources about recovery, about self-care, but it is the actual embodiment. And so for me, my rest looks like unplugging away from things that are good, even working out. And I'm a health coach. Let me just pump the brakes and parenthetically pause and take a time out right here. People think I work out 7 days a week and that I, however, I have taken a sabbatical, a 7 day sabbatical from working out. Okay. And so I'm gonna be talking about this coming up into this new year. Why I did that. And that is because I've been on in this place of not truly resting. And so, matter of fact, when I went to the doctor, he was like, "Your mind is constantly going. Do you sleep good?" Like, "I feel like I sleep good. I feel like I'm fine." And so, my mind is always churning, it's always going. And for me to start to slow down, remove things from my plate, even exercising sometimes to give your body and your mind a complete break. Practice your meditations, and I'm talking about your breathing. Like inhale for four, exhale for six, or inhale for four, exhale for eight, about five or six times throughout the day, it resets your nervous system. And so for me, being able to not be, I'm gonna use this word hypocrite, right? When we're out there forward facing, public facing, you say this thing, but are you doing it? Are you living it? And so for me, I'm sharing with people like I took a break from working out, right? Getting up early in the morning to work out, then you work all day long, and then you have clients in the evenings, and then you just on that cycle again. And so where is your true capacity without guilt? I really want people to understand that allowing others to attach guilt to your capacity is not helpful to you. And so me leaning into this space in terms of really, really being well, walking into a leadership role in an organization who supports community healers, then how am I showing up? I show up and I have been preaching the gospel of REST because it's I realized after 28, 30 years of being in the workspace that if you don't pause and something happens to you, Renita, life gonna go on without you. They're gonna replace you. Your job will be posted within 2 weeks of your demise, or whatever happens to you. If you get a hospital, whatever the case may be, I'm not telling people, to leave your job. Certainly, that's not what I'm saying. But prioritize your wellness in a way that works for you. And so, leaning into a space where I am the co-executive director of work, that's what we're doing. Like I was sharing with my co-exec earlier today that we're taking the nation by storm in 2026 because that is just not a common message. It's just not common to honor rest, like to let that be okay. Like I don't need an agenda when I wake up, or I don't want to go on a trip and have 3,207 things to do. I don't want to do that, right? If I want to take a nice walk out in the morning, I'll take a nice walk out. all the extra pressure that we're starting to put on ourselves to meet societal demands, like you got to show up and be this thing. If you don't work out 10 times a week, no, that adds mental stress on people, unnecessary mental stress. And as a health coach, that is the one thing that I've been, working with my clients on. Okay, you didn't do the seven things, but you did five this week. Now, for
Have
some people, that's
grace.
not okay. They want you to do all seven of them, or you a failure. Or they want you to do seven of them, or you're not doing 100%. Again,
Productivity.
but where is the compassion for people? Where is the humanity in all of this? And so, in order for us to live well, to do well, to have healing, and to just live in a place that we can be okay, we got to learn to be okay. And I've just been in a space, Renita, is checking my ecosystems, and sometimes they feel like it align, but when you recognize that it truly don't deeply align, then I get the opportunity to walk away from that to a
You get
place
to
that,
choose.
I get to choose to go where it deeply aligns. And I am, really leaning into a holistic wellness. Of course, when I came to you, we talked last year, I was about my plant-based, where I became plant-based. That still remains the case. But this is what I know, and this is what the doctor's report would tell you. And anybody, I'm not a doctor, let me just say that.
We're not
But
giving medical
I'm
advice.
not giving medical advice or medical guidance, but I'm sharing information from my own personal experience. Let me say that. You can do all the workouts. My blood pressure is like 101 over 78. You can
Ooh,
have good
so
blood
good.
pressure.
Like jealous. Yes, so good.
You can have excellent blood pressure. You can eat well. I'm plant-based, so I eat plants. I don't eat meat. And you can work out 3 to 5 days a week, 6 to 7 days a week. But if you're not resting and recovering, I'm gonna repeat that again. If you're not resting and recovering, all the things you think you're doing are really for naught. And it's going to show up. It's not necessarily going to show up on the outside, but you go to your doctor and let them do a full exam of you, it is going to show up. You let them put them blood pressure cuffs on your arms and your ankles, okay? And the Doppler on your foot. Then you're going to find out how rested you are or you are not. So I was on the table last week at the doctor's office, laid out with these blood pressure cuffs on. I'm laid out in a rested state. That's how I know the value, not just, oh, you need to rest because you're grinding. Not only do I need to rest because I have been grinding, but this is what the data tells me also. Very reliable data, So being in a grind culture is counterproductive to our health. And I'm concerned about us.
I want to say too that you may have already been on the cusp of this when we did meet, when you were on the podcast last year, because one of the things that I took from that I've shared with as many social workers as I have access to is we no longer call it the field. And I give you credit, Coach Regina. I always tell people, Regina Lackey, watch her podcast episode. She taught me this. We do not call the work that we're doing, the social work profession, the field. And there are some historical reasons behind that. But listening to you talk today, by shifting that language and saying we're not working in a field, how you had described it last time. We're not working, as having that historical slave narrative in our DNAs. We're not working in the field. We are a profession. And now this shift into radical rest is like, and because we are in a profession and we're not working in a field, this is what comes a part of it is rest and restoration. You want to speak to that?
And I do, and I want to say that, let I want to say this. Please hear me. Rest is not earned. Like, you don't have to go so hard to, I need to rest. It should be a natural expectation that I rest. We have this idea that this has to be earned. I have to be so exhausted that why am I going to exhaust myself? Because that's how we've been programmed. We've just been programmed in that way. But leaning into that parallel correlation is like understanding that as a human being, I need to rest. Like no, we, that really was a big deal for me. And in language. And putting the right language to things still matters very deeply to me. And because we're not workers who need to deserve rest in from the field, because we don't work in the field, we're in community. So that speaks to bringing about healing in community. And so when I rest, I invite you to rest. When you learn and understand and can appreciate rest, then you become an advocate for rest in your ecosystem. Your ecosystem expands, they become advocates in the same way. And so then we start to build ecosystems that support whole wellness from this rested and this restoration place. You know, rest, when I think about it, it's like the first thing is releasing the load. That's what the R is. We're carrying these loads, refusing to take off these super capes, release the cape. You know, release that. You don't have to
And can
earn
I
it.
say, some people have been wearing that cape since they were 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. They
They
didn't
had
even ask to wear the cape, but it got put on them because whatever family situation or dynamic they
Yes.
were in. And so,
Yeah.
one, you didn't even ask to wear the cape, and you probably have had it since you were a toddler, trying to take care of other people.
Trying to take care of other people. And it just continued. I was sharing earlier that sometimes our greatest strength is also our greatest weakness. Because I am that person, because I have been that person, because I am reliable, because I do have integrity, because I do operate in excellence. I'm saying you, me, but
Oh, I
just
do.
in
You know I
general.
do.
You know, in general,
Yeah.
you know, we bear the weight, we carry the weight, we carry the load. And when it's time to, you know, release the load, we have guilt, we have shame, we have the spirit of let down. I don't want to let people down. But at the same token, you're dishonoring yourself. You know, you're causing more harm to yourself than you even can imagine, right? And so the best thing that we can do is learn how to prioritize our wellness so that we can continue to show up well for others when we have the capacity. And learning to not put those expectations on yourself, that takes a lot of undoing. It takes a lot of undoing. And again, if you're not in a community that supports and honors that, because here's what we know. People value you as long as they value you. When you start to say no, they no longer value you because you not only did you put your boundaries in place, you're starting to exercise them. And so at that point, I'm starting to prioritize my health, my wellness, then you, as long as you benefit from it, you don't have a problem. You don't have a problem with it. And so I just want to invite us into that space to, you know, even when somebody said, well, you know, I don't have to. I'm going to choose me this time. And let's just be clear, do not be hoodwinked, bamboozled, and swum, but that you're being selfish. You know, and so I just really want to be the advocate on whole wellness, doing life well in a way that honors us as individuals and collectively. We want to be in a collective community that supports this. And so some work that we're going to be doing with a couple of organizations. I got an event coming up soon. I'll have to come back and share more about it afterwards, but we got an event coming up where it's a day of WUSA. So we're going to be working with emerging leaders on this very nature of understanding what it looks like to be a leader and how to adopt these practices.
And I just going back to, because what I know, this is my little ecosystem or my beautiful, wonderfully growing ecosystem, the Goddesses of Social Work, and leaning into this reflective supervision model that I've created. I know reflective supervision is a model, but my own personal reflective supervision, which is about rest. This morning at 9:30, one of the goddesses texted me to tell me that she passed her clinical exam. Since May 2025, we've had 11 goddesses pass their clinical exam. And I mean, if you're on any of the social work pages, you're hearing it's so hard, it's so biased, it's so, it's so, it's so. But yet in this community, we've had, and I mean, I could look back before May 2025, but literally since May 2025, and it's December 2025 now, we've had 11
11.
beautiful women who look like me pass their clinical exam. And, talk now, leaning into this reflective supervision and this rest energy that I didn't even know I had joined. But I'm here with you. I'm right here with you. Those 11, just those, May 2025 to December 25, those 11 women are now going to impact their communities because we've been talking about rest and taking care and pushing back on a profession that asks you to just give everything and don't care what the cost is. Like you said, 2 weeks later, they're going to have filled your position anyway. And so, one, being a leader in that, then for them to take it into their communities and the ripple effect that ends up happening. But first, I love that you said it starts with you first, and then you model it, then they're going to be modeling it. And it's just like you said, y'all are taking over the world, and we're like a little side army over here. We got a side quest over here with you guys to take over the world with this disruptive rest model that you're presenting.
And so I'm thank you for it. Look, so much has transpired in my life. July 29th, precisely almost a month later, I passed my LCSW exam.
Congratulations. You heard me read out Regina Elvis, so you didn't even switch. Congratulations. That is so, when I got that text message this morning from one of the goddesses, and I love that I'm one of the first people that they text or call to tell that they passed. I woke up just so grateful. So grateful to be able to be on this journey with all of these women, but so grateful to know that because we have these clinical licenses, that is world changing wealth, that is world changing health, that is world changing impact. That is world changing impact. And here, and yet we're saying, and rest, and make sure you're taking really good care of yourself. And not just saying it, practicing it, and showing them, and whether it's through my reflective supervision, whether it's through your rest format that you guys are creating and building. But because when you were talking, I was thinking our ancestors and I'm thinking about my mama. She's 73 years old. She was just here a couple of hours ago. She drove through her little Hyundai. She didn't even get out of the car. She drove through her Hyundai, and I had to go out there and meet her, but she is always on the go. In fact, my son had came, he's like, I was just about to pin the group message. Grandma is never at home. But that's what we were taught. Like, you just are going, going, going. Even my son sees that in my 73-year-old mama. She's just always going. So when you're talking to us about showing people what rest looks like, because we don't have an example of that. As much as I love seeing my 73-year-old mama just going, 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 she has never shown me what rest looks like.
And we're on a mission. That is our assignment. That is our assignment because when I say disrupting the status quo, it's easy to grind, it's easy to keep going, and it's easy to say that I don't have time to slow down. Okay, so
I
but
have
that is
too much to do.
I got too much to do. I got too much to do. And again, it goes back to, unfortunately, the deep-seated how we, you know, have been programmed. And those are the words I'm going to use, that, you know, society has programmed us that the more you do, but that is not true. That is not true, because actually, when you're able to separate and get quality, meaningful rest, quality, meaningful sleep, being able to have a restorative experience on a consistent basis in how you walk and move, one, you have better clarity, you have more energy, you make better decisions, you're not snapping off, you have better regulated blood pressure, you're less likely to have a chronic, you know, chronic condition. Therefore, yeah, they want you to be productive at work, then you most certainly will when you're able to show up well.
But one of the things, Regina, and you've mentioned it a few times, but I really just kind of want to lean into it for a couple of minutes, is, oh, I even heard it today. A social worker said to me, oh, I just feel so guilty because, especially with when you're dealing with the clients, I can't take off, or I can't, you know, allow myself to. I see your big eyes because I see you. You know, I'm right there with you. That's why I see it. But they're saying I can't do that because these clients need me, or this agency needs me, or I feel so bad. Because who else is going to take care of these babies like me, you know, right? So what would you tell those social workers and or just people or women who are listening, you know, how to release that obligation and that guilt?
Yeah, thank you. That's good, because I heard that so much when I was in the workspace. And so, you know, leaders, people, organizations are very different, you know, they have what they have. But the best thing that I could share with anyone, and it's the cold, hard truth, and I just said it a few seconds ago, my dear sister, my dear brother, if you have a caseload of 15, if you have a caseload of 50, okay, you can look well enough to live and be sick enough to die. The best thing that I can do is to share with anyone who's listening is to not to take your health for granted. That is the best guidance that I can offer. I know that firsthand. I've seen it. I forced an employee to go to the doctor when I was in the workspace. Little did I know, she had canceled so many doctor's appointments. I had no idea. I had no idea. When she finally went to the doctor, because she did not look well to me, and I said, you got to leave here and you got to go to the doctor. When that baby got to the doctor, and she's not a baby because she's older than I am, she got to the doctor, wound up being hospitalized for 2 months, and her condition had metastasized so bad that she actually had to have an amputation. She was just that ill, but kept pushing. Did not want to let the team down. Was a leader responsible for your teammates. Staff these cases with them at the cost of her own health. And so my invitation to everyone out there who is listening and have an opportunity, if you're still here, then you still have an opportunity to reprioritize your health. You are the best gift that you can give to the world. And you don't want to give them your leftovers or your unwell expressions.
It stinks.
It stinks. It's not a good thing. Listen. And so when you lean into this place to own your wellness, create a wellness plan that includes scheduled time off. There is no job out there that you don't get time off. They give there, but we bank it and we bank it and we bank it until we're sick and then have to be off, and really unavailable. But that family, let me say this since I have the platform, any supervisor, leader, pay attention to your team. Encourage your team to take care of themselves. Any administrator, encourage your leaders, any CEO or president or deputy director of these organizations, I'm inviting you all to shift your culture Let us start with you. You demonstrate wellness practices.
That
So
part is what I was thinking. Yes.
yes, you as a CEO, if you have an organ a private or nonprofit organization, or if you are the deputy director, or you if you are the appointed person of a social service or any agency or organization at the highest level, let me say this, because I work for at the highest level, take care of yourself.
Model it.
Model it. Model the parallel process. That's what happens. You pushing out all these things, all this, and so they continue to push. They continue to push. Before I left, the place that I was working for, my last place of employment, within a 5-year period, no, pardon me, within a 2-year period, there are at least 5 people that had heart attacks and passed. And so if that's not a what we like to call a
A
wake-up
wake up
call,
call,
I don't know what
yes.
is. I don't know what is. And so we love what we do. We get into these serving and helping spaces as a result of the passion and compassion that we have for people. I invite you to have that same compassion and passion for
Yes.
yourself.
Right, first.
First, fill your cup. Put your own mask on, take care of yourself, have these practices, and honor that. Honor the safe space, honor sacred space for yourself. You should not be in a position where the only time you take off or that you have off is a holiday or you got a doctor's appointment. You don't even have to say, I need a mental health day. No, I just need a day off. And for those leaders, supervisors, agency directors, I invite you to allow this, okay? Understand when you see the humanity in people and all that people are navigating on a daily basis, you would gladly give them a paid day off. They show up, people show up in these workspaces. We like to say, leave your pro if the only way I can leave my problems or my situation at home is that I stay at home. Doesn't mean it's gonna manifest in the job, but I can. It's still gonna be ruminating in my head, and so I show up in the meetings. I show up with the families in this way with all of this. But who's showing care and concern for me, right? And so, I invite every executive, CEO, president, deputy commissioner, and the commissioner of these organizations to really pause and consider the greatest asset that you have within your organization, and that's your team members. That is your team members. How can we, I'm not talking about a policy or a procedure, but how can we create a culture that speaks to wellness? When we take care of our community, meaning those we are in community with, our colleagues, then they will take care of everything else without question. And so this whole idea of the guilt that shows up because I'm expected to do this, then there is a gap there in really understanding what's needed. You're not meeting your team members where they are and giving them what they need. You know they've not had a day off, but you don't say anything.
Because you're not taking the day off.
Because you're not taking a day off. Because you're available 24/7. Because you miss your kids' game, you expect them to
I
do the
even
same.
want to say stop texting or if responding, if you're not on call. After 5, 6, 7, get your emails off your phone and let it just be on your computer so you have to actually go to your computer to look at it and not do it on your phone. You know,
Now,
like it's these micro acts that we can do, even, you know, versus yes, take off and please don't even, you don't have to tell anybody why you're taking off. I'm like, you don't have to tell anybody. You earned those days. You don't have to say why you could, why, and don't ask me why, right? But also create those micro
those my
practices.
yep,
Yes,
those my
like
illness
after
practices.
5:30, don't text me because I'm not going to be responding. And I don't have my email on my phone. I keep it on my computer. But there's so many other micro practices that can help let this rest be a paradigm shift that we're moving in. I do want to move to a shift, the quad shift framework. I don't know what that is. I'm learning about Black Women Do Heal, and now this new framework that you're introducing me to, the quad shift framework. What is this?
Yeah, so I did a play on the quadriceptic muscles.
Muscles. You love your play on words. Yes.
I originally did a play on the quad muscle, and it represented four E's, quad, you know, in fours. But then I shifted that. And so to really get underneath what we need to do. And so I presented this several times, quad shift from preventing, mitigating stress and burnout. And so the Q stands for, we're going to need to quiet the noise. And when you were speaking about the micro things that we can do in terms of, you know, turning your cell phone, well, you know, not responding to text messages and, you know, leaning to a space where you're not checking your emails with these dinging on your emails, you know, on your cell phone, just have your computer off and you get it at that point in time. In August, I was at a leadership retreat. And I was sharing with the president and her team of leaders this quad shift framework. And I posed a question to them. I said, is there any reason why, and I'm talking about quiet the noise. I said, is there any reason why we need to have 1,300 emails sent before 9 o'clock a.m.? You know, so I asked a question. I said, so I understand that, you know, you're running the organization, but immediately when people come to work, they don't have the opportunity to set their day. I said, can I invite you to allow them an hour from 8 to 9 to set their day, and you don't start sending emails to after 9 o'clock? I'm talking about quiet the noise. And she was like, huh, I never thought about that. And the leaders in that room was like smiling, you know, like, you know. And so we bombard people with emails, and here's the one that aggravates me, you know, EOB in capital letters, end of the day, end of business. You know, you're yelling at people, you know. So, but the quiet shift speaks to quiet the noise. Like, we have these unrealistic expectations. We cannot heal in that kind of chaos. And so in order for us to, we have to learn how to tune that out, do some daily things, and be very intentional with how we show up and quiet the noise. From the digital aspect, creating a morning routine that, again, that invites the noise level going down. Those micro doses. If you don't have 5 minutes of stillness, can you give yourself 1 minute? You know, a 1 minute guided meditation. There's no, you know, just those small things, but quiet the noise. You know, a deeper place was the you is that we get to, if we decide to uproot and unlearn, we got to uproot these practices, unlearn all these things that have been provided to us, that we've accepted, that we've taken on, because all it do, it leads to chronic stress, burnout, and people are leaving professions quicker now. They're not even staying long enough to really understand and make a positive contribution long term because of all these expectations, because of all this noise that we've got to do, you know. And so digging deep into unlearning these behaviors that we have systemically, it's not the individual, it's not even one organization, it's systems.
Yeah.
And we need to have some systems change around that and really uprooting that, you know, from get under, really underneath that. Like, why are we, you know, grinding like this? Or why are we not prioritizing ourselves and our health? And so quiet the noise, unlearn and uproot, And then the A is align and activate, right? And so once we've quiet the noise, and then once we've kind of gotten underneath that thing, then I need to find out from an alignment standpoint what matters to me. Like, and not just what matters to me, because what mattered to me last month may not be what matters to me today. So what matters to me today? You know, what does peace, what does healing, what does that look like to me? You know, so and then when I start to align those things with what matters to me, not what matters to my supervisor, not what matters to my spouse, not what matters to my children, not what matters to my mom, what matters to me? And funny thing is, as many people that I work with, their whole lives is centered around other people. And so, as I've been talking about this framework, you know, the quiet shift, it has really forced people to say, Regina, I've never really thought about that. Like, what really matters to me? Because I got to take care of this and I got to take care of that. I don't have time. So, well, let's sit in this space. Let's hear from you for a change. You know, and once you start to align those things, then you next need to activate that. Align and activate, right? When your actions don't match, that's misalignment. And that further causes you anxiety, it further causes you stress, and it further moves you away from your deeper purpose when you're out of alignment. And then the D, do the work to do it differently. We've got to do the work to do it differently. And so, just really walking with people in a way that is patient and calm, but transformation happens when we do the work, when we make a decision, you know, to do the work, not about societal expectations. It's about me this time, in a way that honors me, in a way that feels good to me, in a way that's supportive to me. And so we're not creating spaces that honor the person, then what are we doing?
Regina, where do you notice people tend to resist the shift the most?
Well, when so what the biggest thing that I'm hearing is that, and I'm kind of like, how is this still so? It comes down to I just don't have time to stop. I don't have time for myself. And I know not only me, but I know many people who have conversations about slowing down, chronic stress, burnout. But every environment is the same. You do evaluations after your talk, the evaluations are the same. This hit hard. This resonated with me. What do I do? You know, and so I just again in thinking about this shift. How do you quiet the noise? It's the small thing. It's you making a decision. One, maybe you need to turn your phone off sometimes. You know, don't start your day with the phone. Turn it off sometimes.
Put it in a drawer.
Put it in a drawer away from you and turn. You know, start using an old school watch to even wake up on it and to, you know, but and our clock, like old
Yeah,
school
a
clock,
real
you gotta get out of
clock.
bed, you gotta get out of bed and go turn it off. But it just it's really disheartening that we're in a time where we have more access to opportunities to rest, but we don't take them because it's not expected.
Yeah, it's not modeled for us.
It's not modeled.
And
It
again,
is.
the Black Women Do Heal are showing a framework to model how to do that.
Yes, rest, restorative practices,
Reflection,
Reflection, taking the time, calls, gatherings, and not meetings, having gatherings where we're able to hold space, have facilitated healing conversation that's practical. It allows you to slow down.
So beautiful. And this has been such a beautiful conversation, but we are coming to a close. And I had a question. I have one written down, but I'm gonna pivot because I love the fact that you didn't have to leave your government job. That was a good job. A lot of people, that's what they strive for, to get those government jobs, especially in social work. And yet it was safe. It was a safe bet. You knew your paycheck, you had money in the FSA. I mean, and yet you left. Talk to those people in the audience who might feel safe where they are, but know that they're being called for something bigger and greater. What would you say to them?
Thank you for asking that.
You're welcome. And congratulations, LICSW. That's awesome. I just need to take a minute to congratulate you again on that. Yeah, but what would you say to them?
I would say, and again, I say thank you for asking that because I was in a very a great position, well positioned, immaculate team, doing phenomenal work for the organization. Did not walk into 2025 saying I'm going to retire. But what I knew on the inside was God had told me, your voice, I have work for you to do. And so stepping out in part on faith, you got to have an exit and an entry plan. Don't just exit and you find yourself in a position where, you're landing flat on your face. But I will say this, if you know that God has something greater for you, you have a greater assignment, and you want to get in alignment with your assignment, my encouragement to you, sister, my encouragement to you, brother, is to today start creating your exit plan and craft you what does my enter plan looks like. What are you talking about? I'm talking about if these conditions no longer serve you and you know you have a greater purpose, then what am I doing to enter into this other space? Let me start working on my plan to safely enter into this other space. So you don't want to exit without an entry plan. Right. And so me exiting, from a good government job where I get
You
a
did.
and I'm young, not even 50 years old. So, but being able to have my coaching, I've been coaching for 3 years, believing God for opportunities with that. I'm telling you, when I typed out that notice, when I said I'm done with this and I'm walking into that, I shared with several people. The very next day, I had three new clients in my coaching business.
That's how it works.
So he was waiting on me, right? But I had been building that. And so then it created the opportunity for me to really lean into a space that only God knew down the road. And that is the opportunity to serve as the co-executive director of Black Women Do Heal,
That
to
part.
further elevate, to further raise awareness and consciousness about this wellness in a very meaningful way,
In a higher elevated way. Absolutely.
And that's
And
okay.
it is okay. Have an enter plan. I love that. And one of the things that I talk to my people about is if you see that version of yourself that's already left that job, who's doing the thing that they love, what are you doing today to take one step towards her? Is there something you can do today to take one step towards that version of you and do that thing? But I am going to ask you, we've been talking about radical rest. And so for those who are, I'm too busy, or I don't know how to slow down, or, no one's ever showed me what that would look like. What is one small act of radical rest you would invite our audience to try this week?
One thing I would invite us to do this week is unplug, and let me describe what that unplug looks like. That looks like giving yourself permission to unplug from your electrical devices, your cell phone, your computer, for 1 hour.
That's not much at all.
Just 1 hour to unplug. Don't even pick up a book to read. Just allow yourself to be. On your couch with your jammies on. Don't if resting for you means watching a TV show, you do that. Because I can't define that for you, but I want you to put that device down. If sitting on the floor playing Uno cards with yourself, sit on the floor and play Uno. But the whole idea is creating a separation that does not involve me thinking, overthinking, thinking about this or thinking about that.
You know what's going to happen though, Regina, is because they do get quiet and put their phone down, that's when all the thoughts are going to come. That's what they're running from. It's
So,
all, yeah, go ahead.
yeah. So learning, so getting back in touch with ourselves, getting back in touch. So don't run from it then, okay? Get you a cute little inning out of your cue, get you a journal, write it down and put it to the side.
I get you a yellow pad.
Yeah, write it down and put to this, write it
That's
down and put
it.
to the side. I've been doing a 30-day challenge with a 30-day woolside challenge with Lita Roundtree out of Atlanta, Georgia. And so teaching you how to breathe and teaching you how to woolside, we're up to 10 minutes now. So you're just meditating. And so let me invite them into that space. Find a 10-minute meditation and do 10 minutes at a time. That's my invitation because yeah, that stillness might not be for you right
They're
now.
going to be a little jerky
You
with
gotta
it.
be too little jerky because you like to be wired up. But I want to invite all of our listeners to guided meditation.
Can I tell you one of my favorite things to do? I know it sounds a little woo-woo, but I love it because I have that real active brain too. Every night, I just light a candle and I stare at it for 10 minutes. I put my timer on and I'm just staring at this flame for 10, and when the heater, the AC comes on, and it makes it
It
do the
starts to.
little dance, and and or if it's dripping little wax, and I'm looking at that,
Yes.
but I'm just focused on this candle for 10 minutes, and then I'm like, oh, those 10 minutes passed by so fast. And so, like, even if you feel like you can't meditate, I can't just sit with myself, there are so many other practices you can do in order to just allow your mind and your body to be still and with yourself for a moment.
That's what I was going to say, to be still. And then, as your mind, because it will wander, have a conversation, say, we are returning. And return to that space of watching the candle, of the guided meditation, of the reflection.
Journaling. I love journaling. Let
Journaling,
me tell you, shout,
the
get in the
instrumental
shower
music.
for 10 minutes. People don't realize how grounding a shower is without music. I'm telling my people, don't turn on the music
Just
or all that. Just be
instrumental
in
work.
the,
Yeah.
yeah,
And
just
it's
be in
just
the shower and let the shower, speak to you. But
Oh,
I
that's good.
love this invitation. Just do one small radical act of rest for yourself this week. It's the new year. It
Yes.
started off with
Start off in a
rest.
restful state. Start out in a rest. Release the load. Like, delegate them five things that you was gonna do. That's a releasing the load.
And or guess what? Them five things are going to be there when you get back anyway. Haven't we learned that?
Haven't we learned? Listen, haven't we learned that? Yeah, and that's okay. Release the load, release the guilt when you decide to rest. I want
Thank
us
you so
rested.
much. Yes, thank you so much for inviting us to rest. And, as we close, I was just thinking, we just finished the winter solstice on Sunday. We just, entered the winter season, and all the animals in nature, what are they doing? But
Hibernate.
hibernating and resting. And what are we doing? Running around and filling up the streets with our cars and shopping and being busy. And guess what? We are not in alignment.
We're not in
We're
alignment.
not in alignment with how God created this planet, because everybody else out there that He created is resting.
Now that's a good
And
point.
we push in the
We push.
busiest season of the year. So,
No more push.
We're
No
gonna
more push.
rest.
No more. I gotta do this one last thing. No. Have a clear shutdown time and just walk away from it. That's radical. It's hard, but be radical
That's
for you.
why it's radical.
That's right. I'm not. Shut it down and walk away from it for a change.
Yes. Let that be your New Year's resolution.
Let that be
Let
your
that be
name.
your word for 2026.
Yeah.
Rest.
Rest.
Rest. Yes. Love that. Regina, thank you so much for returning to this space and for
Yes.
naming rest not as retreat, but as reorientation. Your words remind us that we don't need to lose ourselves when we slow down. We often will find ourselves again. And y'all, this has been the Goddesses of Social Work podcast. I'm your host, Renita Ray Davis. And as we leave the space, may you remember that rest is not the absence of purpose. It is often where purpose becomes clear.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Goddesses of Social Work podcast. We are glad you were here. If you like this episode, please come back to hear more stories of the journeys through social work, and please leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. See you next time here on the Goddesses of Social Work podcast.